You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Lindsay Lino, owner of Upshift Swap Shop in Madison, Wisconsin. Lindsay, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
I am excited to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You have a business model that I don't believe that I've ever seen before.
Yep, it's only kind. It's one of a kind. We came up with it 2009.
Okay.
And yeah, we created it during the recession because we knew that there was going to be a need for women to shop at a very low cost.
Yeah.
It's a very different business model.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. So what were you doing before?
I was a clothing designer. I was a lead design at a large corporation in Minnesota.
Okay.
And did that for 7 years. And that's really where the business model for Upshift came from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a lot of waste that happens in the industry.
Oh.
When clothing is created, it creates a lot of waste.
Sure.
It's packaged. It's, you know, being shipped. So it has a huge carbon footprint.
Sure.
And I realized it through being a designer and just seeing through a large corporation, big box, fast fashion store.
Yeah.
There is a lot of waste. And so I wanted to come up with a business model that is considered sustainable.
Okay.
Cuts down on the carbon footprint of clothing, and that's really easy to maneuver and easy to run from a retail perspective.
Okay. Easy to run from retail. We got to learn more about that.
Easy to run from a retail management perspective.
Sure. Okay.
Because I also know a lot about retail management.
Sure.
I teach it over at MATC.
Oh, nice.
I teach retail management, and it can be really complex to run your own store.
I bet.
Yeah. So, and to open your own business, having a brick and mortar, meaning a standalone store.
Yeah.
So I wanted to come up with a business model that anybody can run.
Okay.
So technically I am the manager, but I can walk away at any point and it pretty much runs itself.
Oh, based on the spot that is system. Awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Difference between owning a job and owning a business, right? Very cool.
Yeah.
So I imagine it wasn't like that from the start.
So what brought me to Madison from Minnesota, people thought I was nuts. I quit my big corporate job at 30. And
all right. Good pay, good benefits.
It all. And right in 2009, height of the recession, decided to quit and come to Madison. I think this is a great location for a sustainable business model.
I would agree.
Especially sustainable clothing.
Sure.
The product isn't considered sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
It is pieces that might come from big box stores, but it's closet to closet or customer to customer through our swap system, which I can talk more about that later. But I think Madison's a great community to have a sustainable store.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's job moved us here. And so he moved. And then a year later, I quit and joined him knowing that I was going to open this business model. Like I said, quit the corporate job. I was just ready to do something that was more in line with my morals and values, which is having a secondhand clothing store. I only wear secondhand. I only shop secondhand.
Okay. You're talking exclusively?
Exclusively. Everything I wear is from Upshift.
All right.
Everything in our house is secondhand. We live a very sustainable life. So here, knowing that we live this lifestyle, I was working a big box, large corporate.
Sure.
Position and seeing how much waste happens at the corporate level, I just knew I had to get my career in alignment.
Sure.
So I wrote the business plan on January 20th, 2009. The reason that date sticks in my mind is because it was when the president was being inaugurated.
Oh,
and
interesting.
And I was watching it, and I thought, I can write a business plan that will fulfill all my passions.
Sure.
And I just wrote down sustainable fashion, wine, and cats. And so I thought,
I missed that part. Okay.
Yes. It was written on a cocktail napkin, and I thought, I'm going to create a business model doing this. And that's when I came up with a swap system that we do at Upshift.
Okay.
And I moved to Madison knowing I was going to open it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached 12 different banks and was told absolutely not. They weren't going to lend to me to open because they didn't understand the business model because it is its own kind and its own one of a kind. Yeah, so I had to start from square one, which was open it in the basement of our apartment building that we live in, and just do it every Thursday. I was going to do our swap system and just see if it would work, and perfect the swap system.
Sure.
And I did that from 09 until 2013 when we opened at our location that we're at now.
That's awesome. I always joke, so I teach a business planning class, right? And I always joke with my students, jokes-ish. You know, when you're teaching students, sometimes you're trying to like, this is the real world, and this is what I have to tell you as fast as I can. But I tell them, just imagine the first person that went to get a loan to start a massage therapy place.
Right, right,
right. Right? They're on every corner now, but before there was the first person. And a banker is like, what do you do? I'm like, you know, people come in the office, right? They get undressed to their comfort level. We dim the lights. We put on some nice music, maybe some candles, incense, whatever. Then I just rub them with oil.
Here's money.
Yeah, like, no, no, no. Where's the challenge here? And I can just imagine them getting laughed out of every single bank they went to.
Oh, for sure. Well,
where now was, it's like, massage therapy, no big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was me. Again, it was the height of the recession, so I think banks were probably being a little bit more protective of who they were giving money out to.
That's fair.
Yeah, because we're not considered consignment, which is a proven business model. Uh-huh. We're not considered truly secondhand because we don't price tag anything. We don't put price tags. It's all priced flat rate per bag.
Sure.
What women do is they bring in a bag of clothes, anything gently used, any season, and we empty it out, and then the customer gets to refill their bag with whatever they want from the store, and they get to walk away, like I said, with a paying a flat rate, very reasonable. In fact, our prices have never gone up because we were pricing it to cater to women during the recession. You know, there not a lot of money to go around in 08, 09. So we never did put our prices up since then because we just want to cater to the fact that we have this really loyal following.
All right.
So, yeah. So that's kind of the business in a nutshell. How I started out, like I said, in the basement of our apartment.
Yeah.
Dustin, that's my husband, who owns 49% of the business. He cannot dress mannequins, but he's really good at...
Like, you don't allow him to, or just ability isn't there?
Right, both of it.
Okay.
Or both of us.
So, one leads to the other, so it's all good.
But he does do, like I said, 50% of the behind the scenes.
Sure.
He left to go fishing with my dad up in Canada.
Okay.
And I tore the basement apart, repainted it, and turned it into a boutique in our in our apartment building that we own.
So the moral of the story is...
Yes. And so he came home 5 days later, and I had it set up like a boutique, and I started advertising on Craigslist.
Okay.
And women just started showing up to do... Basically, it's like a swap party, what women do at home.
Yeah.
But it's set up as a business and as a boutique.
Okay.
And people would pay the entry fee or the flat rate, come in, and they'd get to do a swap.
Yeah.
They got to drink wine while they were doing it. I had fun tunes cranked. So that's where the fashion and wine came into play. The cats, I'm still angling to get a shop cat for the store.
Does it get fur all over the clothes or anything?
That's why we won't do it. But what I do is I do donate. We do events to like help cat rescue and whatnot.
All right.
So
it changed the dynamic of the store, I imagine.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we started out. And like I said, once a week, every Thursday, we'd have these big swap parties at our house.
Sure.
And as I was doing this, my business plan was getting a little bit bigger, a little bit more refined. We just squirreled away the money that we were earning each Thursday, and we used that to open our brick and mortar store on East Johnson. Yeah.
So I want to back up one step here. So you had the job in Minnesota.
Yes.
Your husband comes over to Madison for a job.
Yep.
Did he know that you were going to quit your existing job? What was the plan, I guess, at that point when he moved?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, we didn't really know. We were just doing it on the fly. So we were doing it on the fly. We knew at some point I was going to have to quit that job, which I loved.
Because he was here, you were there.
Yeah.
Right.
I went back to school to get my teaching degree, which is the thing that I do behind the scenes. So I am a teacher at MITC, but it was just a good time to come back or to come down here and, and get my teaching degree. And so I did that and was refining the business model that whole time that I was back at school.
Sure. Yeah. So how did the conversation go when you're like, hey, honey, I'm going to start a business?
100% supportive. He thought he really believes in it. It was the first 2 years was touch and go.
It was,
we were barely keeping the heat on and keeping the doors open because it
wasn't. On your apartment?
Once we opened the brick and mortar here. No, he totally believed in it.
Sure.
When he got back from fishing that weekend that I converted the basement into a boutique.
Yeah.
He walked in. I poured a glass of wine and slid it across the table. And he went to bring his fishing equipment downstairs, and he came up and he goes, "What did you do to our basement?" And he knew of the business plan before that, but sure. he didn't know that I was just going to open it up in our basement.
Right.
And I said, "We're just going to try it. We're going to do it word of mouth. I'm going right. to put it on Craigslist." Friends started bringing friends. He started seeing that this is actually working.
All right.
And he's 100% in. So, like, back to what I was saying. So the first 2 years was pretty rough.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of times I came home and I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I'm like, we're just bag borrowing and steal to get sure. people through the door at our brick and mortar.
Right.
Not when it was the basement days.
Right.
He talked me down many, many times. He was the one that was like, "I believe in this. We're doing right. this. We're going to keep pushing ahead."
And nice.
You know, things are tough right now because it's a new business. And
right.
here we are 6 years in and people just totally get it.
That's so cool.
And I am surprised at how being in Madison, being here for 6 years, seeing how many people come through the doors, it's shocking to hear from acquaintances. They're like, "Yeah, I have friends who still don't know about you." So I think there is still more of a market to tap into. So even
up until recently, I didn't know about you.
Right.
I'm
right,
not target
right.
market,
no, no, no.
I guess. But.
Yeah, no. It is shocking 6 years in.
Sure.
So if I could go back and tell myself that first 2 years, like, "Hey, it's going to be okay. And
right.
you're still going to have a market to keep tapping into."
Sure.
Because it was tough. But if there's one cheerleader I have, it's totally him. Like, he
very cool.
totally gets it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you've had the brick and mortar for 6 years. Mm-hmm. How did you decide where you're going to be located?
Yeah, that was one of the harder things that I've ever done. I researched and researched. Being a teacher, I'm lucky that I'm off in
mm-hmm.
the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the whole summer just riding my bike around neighborhoods,
just
trying to see where we want this brick and mortar.
Sure.
I looked at strip malls.
Okay.
We realized that was not a good fit for us.
Right.
We knew we weren't going to do State Street. I mm-hmm. love State Street. I wish more local businesses could be on State Street.
Agree.
Because we're a destination store, because women, and we now have men's clothing.
Okay.
They have to bring stuff to us in order to do the swap system.
Right.
We knew we needed parking.
Right.
So that was a big thing.
Not so much on State Street.
Not so much on State Street. And then walking in from a garage, a parking garage can be
yeah.
too far to walk with like a big,
right,
big,
right.
big bag of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just narrowed it down to two or three spaces. I knew I wanted to be on the east side.
Okay.
We live on the east side. It's a little bit more crunchy, hippy dippy.
Sure.
We get people from all over. In fact, we have two loyal customers who drive over from Oconomowoc. So we do have people from all over, but we
cool.
just wanted to cater to the east side.
Sure.
And like I said, we live there. So
mm-hmm.
anybody who owns a business knows that you're just married to it the first 2, 3, 4,
there's
5,
an attachment.
6.
Yeah.
yeah, so I knew I would be at the space
mm-hmm.
quite a bit. Found the space on Craigslist.
Nice.
Very rarely do I hear business owners say this. We love our landlord. He's a very good man.
Yeah.
So that's why we've stayed with him for 6 years. We've kind of outgrown the space, but we're hoping to find something new again on the east side. But we love where we're at.
Sure.
On East Johnson. Yeah.
Where are you guys located?
836 East Johnson.
Okay.
Can I mention other businesses that
sure.
are around it?
Sure, sure.
So people know Johnson Public House
yep.
Coffee is right there, and actually they're like right up the street from us. And then Matcha Tea, people
mm-hmm.
know of that, and then Bernie's Rock Shop.
I was gonna say Bernie's
yeah.
Rock Shop
yeah.
is the
Bernie's,
one that I know around
yeah.
there.
Yep.
Yeah.
My
wife makes sure I know
yeah,
that place.
Yeah, yeah. So we love our neighborhood. It's
very cool.
I didn't want to be I wanted to be where it felt like a more cohesive retail
mm-hmm.
slash and housing.
Yeah.
And that's what East Johnson offers.
Sure.
Definitely a destination neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
But you can make a whole day out of it because there's restaurants and, you know, that kind of stuff. So we, looking at the location, I knew
mm-hmm.
narrowing it down, it was going to be there or like the Atwood area, I think. But
sure.
we just knew that this was a way better fit for us.
Right.
I looked at the space. It needed a lot of work.
All right. It's an older building, I imagine?
It's an older building. It's got a lot of character.
Mm-hmm.
I called the landlord, and he said, "Yep, come and take a look at it. There's no electricity, so bring your phone with a flashlight on." And I said, "Okay." Called Dustin and said, "Hey, I'm going to meet this guy, and
yeah.
I'm kind of nervous.
Right.
You're
going to meet this guy in the dark.
Right. It's in the dark." I said, if I don't call you in like 20 minutes,
right.
head over here.
Okay.
Sure. So I gave him the location, hit it off with the guy right away.
Sure.
He has a very distinct accent.
Okay.
Very Northern Minnesota.
Oh,
which is where I'm from.
Right.
And
not Slovakian or anything.
Yeah. No. Well, it's very, it sounds like the movie Fargo.
Sure.
Like
the A's
yeah.
are drawn out even more than ours.
Yep.
Right.
And I said, where are you from? And he told me a town in northern Minnesota. Well, that's where my parents' hunting shack sure. is. And he knows my dad. So we
Oh, funny.
Yeah. So we hit it off.
Small and Midwest.
Long story longer, we ended up talking way longer than 20 minutes. All right. It ended up being about an hour.
Wow.
And I had one very angry husband driving up to the building. Oh, very nervous.
Sure.
But I knew right away that's where we were going to be because I really liked our landlord.
Sure.
And he's really taking care of us. One thing that we were up against the first year... talking too much. I feel like
no,
I'm talking
no, no, no.
so much.
This is a talk show, so you're totally doing fine.
There was major road construction the first year.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, because Johnson used to be a big thoroughfare.
Major street construction, and our landlord warned us.
Yeah.
He said, here's the deal. I cannot with a clear conscience have you sign this lease without knowing that in the first year you're going to be dealing with 6 months of street construction,
sure.
possibly closing down the entire, sure. both lanes. And I said, and it did make me kind of pull back. And then he said, I'll tell you what. He goes, here's the price that I'm asking. It was mm-hmm. right in our wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will lock you in indefinitely if you can stick it out that first year.
Indefinitely.
And we're still there 6 years later. And so, and he's awesome. He's a very, very good man.
Oh,
and
very cool.
Yeah. And so he's honored it. And which is why we probably will always stay there as long as he owns the building.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine if it ever sold, they're going to jack the price up.
But, right.
So it was a challenge to us where we were like, yes, we're going to get through the street construction. And
sure.
there were times, I mean, we were just barely squeaking by.
Right.
You know, one or two people would come in that first year because of the construction, because they would
sure.
walk in.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it through and he was good on his offer. And we've been really lucky to have
cool.
someone like that. So
very
that's
cool.
how we ended up there. And it's really, I mean, we wouldn't be open if we
right.
ended up somewhere else. So
okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the transition like from basement to retail? Because I imagine it was a bigger space than your basement, I'm guessing.
Yeah, way bigger.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you have to get different fixtures and shelves.
So everything that we do as far as build outs in the store, all are secondhand.
Okay.
And I've committed to that since day one. So... couple serendipitous things that happened. So the company that I worked for before, they mm-hmm. have stores in the malls.
Sure.
And they have a store in the East Town and the West Town.
Okay.
And a friend of mine who works at the home office in Minnesota where I was designing, she called me. She said, are you still thinking of opening a store? And I said, yeah, actually, I just signed the lease and we're opening in 11 days. I said,
yeah.
11 days to like get fixtures, get the inventory.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. And so I did. So... spoiler, I signed the lease, and then all of a sudden now I'm giving these keys, and we had a deadline of we have to start turning our revenue
sure.
in 11 days.
Right. Rent's due.
And so she contacted me and said, well, you're not going to believe this. This company that I work for, they're closing their store over in Easttown and reopening a standalone store.
Okay.
They just throw their fixtures out. They're throwing them out right now. She's like, is there any way you can get over there and go see if you can go knock on the back door and just see if
right.
they'll give you the fixtures? And I said, oh, my God, this is huge. I'm like, they're secondhand, technically.
Right.
We need fixtures. I
right.
mean, we're sitting here looking at an empty building, and
mm-hmm.
in 11 days we have to open. And my husband, weirdly enough, had just bought a truck. So we did. So now we have this truck, and we drive over, and this will tell you how supportive he is. We went dumpster diving. So
sure.
here we are. Jumping in this dumpster, he brought
all
a
right.
ladder, and I'm just rifling hangers and fixtures and mannequins over. And all of a sudden we hear, can I help you? And we peek over and there's this little gal
yeah.
hauling out these fixtures. And I said, I was called by so-and-so at your home office. They
sure.
said we could come and get all of your fixtures. Is
right.
that okay? And she goes, Lindsay, do you remember who I am? And I go,
whoa.
No. And she goes, I worked for you at Forever 21 because I did a little stint of dressing mannequins over at
sure.
Forever 21. And I said, oh, my God, I totally remember who you are. And so... she said, yes, take it all. She goes, they're just throwing it away. So she helped me. So she's helping.
That's awesome.
Load up this truck. And Dustin's making trips back and forth to the store so we can keep emptying the truck.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't know you started working here. And she goes, oh, it's just a temp job until everything is moved.
Oh.
And I said, are you looking for a job? Because I need a merchandiser.
And
4 days later, she signed on. We were training her. And she was with us for 4 years.
Wow.
And so it was just all these little key, really weird
yeah.
intricacies that just kind of came together.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So, we commit to all secondhand stuff
yeah.
in the store. So every fixture, every garbage can, everything you see is all secondhand. So that's
sure.
what we did to open on that first
awesome.
Year. Yeah.
So how did you fill... One thing I'm always curious about is inventory when you
mm-hmm.
initially start. So you went, I imagine you took some time to build up your basement.
So, yeah. No,
now
I
you got to get enough stuff to fill up your store.
I love that you ask that. So part of being turned away by about 12 different banks was they didn't understand how the inventory would stay maintained and stay maintained at a high quality. Because, again, we're asking people to bring stuff in, anything gently used. Well, everyone's idea of gently used is totally different.
Sure. Holes in the knees are hot.
Yeah. So every person that couldn't understand our business model of bring clothes in, we empty your bag, you get to refill it with whatever you want.
Sure.
They just said that's never going to, it's not going to happen. People are going to come in and want to take more than they brought in.
Sure.
People are going to want to take better stuff than they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I've done my research. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Sure.
I did my test market in our basement.
Right.
That's not the case. So to build up our inventory when we were in the basement, I just put a PSA out to all my friends.
Okay.
Ironically, right around when the recession was hitting, people were leaning more towards this minimalistic way of life.
Sure.
And so they were willing to clean out their closet and just get rid of inventory. I gave them vouchers that they could come back and swap at any point. And so building up the inventory for the basement was easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was happening is people were bringing stuff in from home.
Mm-hmm.
In the basement days, we were swapping out, and all of a sudden I'm realizing we need a storage unit. I don't know what to do with all this extra inventory.
So like you're getting more stuff.
We were
more in than what was going out.
It was insane how much more was coming in than going out.
That's awesome.
So what I was putting out to the floor to swap was just the season that we were in. So that first year it was the winter.
Sure.
And I was just backstocking all of our summer. And then Dustin said, we have an issue. And I said, what? Because he manages the flow of the inventory that's not on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we have an issue. And I said, what? And he goes, we are outgrowing our storage space. He goes, I don't know what to do with everything. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, here, I'll show you. We walk out and it was hundreds of bags. And I'm like, I did not realize that that's how much inventory we had.
Oh, wow.
So we calculated it to open at the brick and mortar at 836 Johnson to coincide with everything that we had in back stock.
Sure.
So that we could just take that, put it on hangers, and then just have. So we had more than enough to open.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And anyone who's done, like if you have any listeners who have done swaps at home, that is a problem. You end up doing your swap and then you have a pile of stuff that you just don't know what to do with. So you donate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what happened to us is we have we're doing the swap system and we're ending up with more than not.
That's so, super cool.
Yeah.
That is super cool. So what did you learn from the transition? Because you were in your apartment, it sounds like 4 years, right?
Yeah, about that.
That's so weird that the bank said no. To my mind, compared to someone that's just like, hey, this is totally cool business. I've never done it before. Let me just try it. Versus 4 years under your belt, that's not inconsequential.
At that point, I kind of was like, nope, we're doing this on our own. And we are gonna do this without a bank.
Okay.
And I did go get a line of credit just as a fallback.
Sure.
Through a bank. And that was all based on our own financial stuff. So that was not an issue at all. So I still have that in case I needed it. But otherwise, no, we weren't financed through a bank.
Yeah.
And transitioning from our house to the boutique was super exciting. So we were just really excited to get in there and move everything. Yeah.
So tell me a story now, because you're going from your house where you're essentially Thursdays or whatever.
Yep.
And now you're going into brick and mortar where you're seven days a week?
7 days a week at first, okay. Yeah.
So now 7 days a week, that's a different time slot.
It is, yeah. So I'm lucky that gal approached me when I was in the dumpster.
Yeah. And people say that all the time, right?
No.
Just looking for lunch.
And she jumped right in and started working 30 hours a week. She needed it. She wanted the job. And she did that for 4 years while I would teach during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get done at, 2:45.
Mm-hmm.
Head over. She was working, I think, 10 to 3 at that point, and then I'd work 3 to 8.
Okay.
And then I'd come home, get all ready to do it again the next day.
Wow.
And she and I did that Monday through Friday, and then Dustin and I split weekends.
Wow.
And then she left 4 years ago. She still shows up and picks up shifts here and there. Sure. She loves us. But I now have two people that fill in shifts, and then I work every Sunday because I love connecting with my customer.
Sure.
And then they basically pick up all the other shifts.
So, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So have employees been a challenge?
Have the employees? No, I'm very, very lucky.
You are the first person sitting in that chair to ever say that.
Which
is super cool.
Yeah.
That's admirable.
I'm super, super lucky.
Yeah.
I like I said, I had Joe for 4 years, and then I started layering in interns from MATC, where I teach the fashion marketing classes. And I would bring in an intern in the summer, and it's like, if I'm dedicating the time to train them to do their 3 month intern, I'm going to pay them to stay on.
Sure.
And so it went from doing, from having people do an unpaid intern, which really shows you if they're going to be good or not, because I mean, they're really working for next to nothing. Have I had some not great interns? Yeah.
Sure.
But the great ones I hang on to and turn into employees, which is why I can say, like, no, I've had no issues. Like, I love my employees. Yeah.
It's almost a try before you buy kind of thing.
It is. It is. It's for clever. So right now I have my intern and my merchandiser, and she's no longer an intern. She's now just works for us. And
okay.
Yeah. So we're lucky. Sure. We're lucky in that sense.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you guys been growing since you opened?
Yeah, very much.
Okay.
We started with just women's sizes 0 to 14.
Okay.
Because that's all that would fit in the space. Our merchandiser, he's a guy. His name is James.
Okay.
And he came in and just kind of kicked the door in and was just like, nope, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. You're going to make these changes. Which, as a store owner, I'm very open to collaborating with with what my customers would need. And then obviously do that through my employees. And he just looked at the space very differently than I did. And he's like, if we take this wall down and put this barring up. And
oh, wow.
He said, we can maximize it and start doing sizes 0 to 30. And he's like, we need it. We've had many people reach out doing 0 to 14. We're leaving out a whole population that should be swapping here.
How many sizes are there?
0 to 30.
Okay. I don't know. Like,
no. Why would you
like
know that?
Small, medium, large. We just keep adding X's.
I know. And so we did expand and then opened up. And went from sizes 0 to 14 to up to 30.
Okay.
And then just recently, he and my intern kind of ganged up on me in a good way and said, we need men's. There's a need for men's.
Okay.
So I said, okay, how can we rework the space? And they just showed me a schematic and said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to knock this down. We're going to take this fixture out.
Sure.
And so we now have men's, and that's gone over really well.
Wow.
The men don't quite get the swap system yet.
No.
Like, they just want to come in.
Yeah.
They just want to come. Well, it's just fine. It's the wives that are like, oh, I'm going to pack up his stuff and bring it in. So we are selling like piece by piece.
Sure.
So it does kind of get picked over, but I think eventually, just like opening a new business, it'll catch on. And
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just Neanderthals. Sorry.
No, but yeah.
What are you going to do?
So yeah, we have been growing, and like I said, we technically have outgrown this space, but right now it's so hard to find anything that's sitting empty that's affordable. Yeah. So we're just keeping our eyes peeled. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like rents in Madison, the surrounding area, Sun Prairie included, are almost just artificially inflated because there's not that many people that own a lot of property.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So it's kind of frustrating.
I could kick myself because there were some buildings that were for sale back in 2009 when we were...
Oh, sure.
That if we would have nabbed up, would have been perfect for us.
Sure.
And they were affordable, but now that's a
different story now.
Definitely a bygone era. So.
Sure. Yeah. Give it a few years.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll come back around.
Yeah.
So what have been some of the things that you learned that you didn't anticipate from going through all of this?
Oh my God, that's a good question. I have zero business background.
Okay.
I never in a million years thought I would own a business.
Okay.
What have I learned? It's easier than I thought it would be.
Oh.
I was
first person to say that.
Well, I think, you know, the 4 years that we were in the basement days, I think I was overthinking it and thinking, I'll be ready when I have this in place.
Sure.
I'll be ready when I have this in place.
And it was
when I just finally signed that lease and just jumped in. Mm-hmm. Everything fell into place the way that it needed to. And looking back, I'm like, I should have just done that from day one.
Right.
Find a brick and mortar, move in, and just figure it out as you
just
go, which is
happen.
Not good business advice to
anyone. Right.
But it worked.
Plan.
I planned and planned and overplanned and needed to do that.
Right.
But looking back, I should have jumped in right away and...
Sure.
Didn't. But I mean, my biggest learning so far, I think it's hard for me to advocate for myself and for the business. That's one thing I struggle with. I tend to hold my cards close to my chest.
Okay.
About all the things that we do at Upshift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll forget, like my husband will point it out. He's like, yeah, people ask, so what do you do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, oh, I'm a teacher. And he's like, and you own a
business owner.
And I'm like, oh, I also own Upshift. And I think probably because I never thought I'd be a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I am an educator at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the first thing I go to. And you can see him like drilling a hole through, like, hello, bring up that you own Upshift.
Right.
I've gotten better at it.
All right.
A little bit. But I think that's the one thing that is hard as a business owner. The other thing, social media blew up in the 6 years that we've owned yeah. it. And so just learning how to maneuver that in an appropriate way. Mm-hmm. And then also getting really thick skin because people feel like they can give brutal feedback via social media.
Right. So it's arm's reach or anonymous yeah, to a point, right?
Yep. I mean, I have people who say things on private message that I'm like, you would never say that to my face. You sure. would never.
Right.
And so what I've done is I've handed that baton over to my merchandiser and he deals with all of it.
Okay.
He tends to have a little bit thicker skin and he's not so married to the project where sure. I am. Mm-hmm. Some stuff I will answer. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, if it's something negative, not, and we very rarely do get any negative feedback. It's like the example when we only had sizes 0 to 14, mm-hmm. it looked online and on social media that we were excluding a group of people on purpose, and anybody who had come into our space at that time would just see we just didn't have the space mm-hmm. for all the sizing, and so we just made a decision that we were going to cater to a certain population.
Sure.
And it did look bad on social media, and so that's why we did make that change. Well, I can see that, and so that's where we would get negative comments where it right. looked like we were excluding a population, and that's not was not our intention at all.
Sure.
So yeah, so that's one of the biggest
people
learning.
Were sensitive 6 years ago. Right?
Exactly. So it really did Instagram and Twitter and Facebook just changed a lot sure. in 6 years. So we're just kind of trying to figure that out.
And I imagine you are catering to demographic women
that
first. Are probably more active on social media, generally speaking, than men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're probably more catty about clothes.
For sure.
I guess.
For sure. When I wrote the business plan, I originally thought it would be broke college kids.
Oh.
That I was just basing it on my own experience of, I need a new
outfit. Fair assessment. I think
yeah, I need a
that.
New outfit every weekend to go out.
Sure.
And I can only afford this flat rate at Upshift, and I'm going to get a new outfit.
Sure.
We certainly have built and catered towards that population more recently. Mm-hmm. I am seeing that young people are finding the worth in shopping secondhand now more than mm-hmm. they did even 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The main customer who came through the door the first year or two are moms because their body is changing really quick.
Oh, sure.
And changing a lot, whether sure. it's their first kid and it's now they've had the baby right. and their body's changing, or they're between kids. Mm-hmm. So we are super kid friendly. Like, we have a toy box hidden in a little drawer. and I love kids because
sure.
I'm a teacher. So I was really surprised. It wasn't these broke college kids who were wanting
right.
to cater or wanting, you know, new clothes every weekend. It was moms. And so we readjusted our thinking, mm-hmm. readjusted what type of clothes we're going to get in. So mm-hmm. really it's a lot of people between 25 and 50 who are coming in through our
right.
store, mostly women at
sure.
this point. And then we have a huge weight loss population that is in the weight loss.
All right.
You know, part of their life.
So they're going from 30 to 14?
Their body's changing really quick.
Sure.
So I have a lot of women who go to help groups after their weight loss surgery mm-hmm. or weight loss system that they're
sure.
on. And they talk about Upshift because,
cool.
it's a really inexpensive way to get a whole new wardrobe.
Okay.
Instead of just wearing your baggy clothes around mm-hmm. that don't fit anymore.
Sure. The muumuu doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's fair. Mm-hmm. So what have you done for marketing that has worked?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you asked that. So we did formal marketing the
okay.
first year. I signed a contract with a local paper.
Okay.
I still read the paper, so I'm not knocking it. But we thought that was the typical way to go. Again, I did my research. And
it's
if
all
I,
good. I had a yellow pages ad, so it's
oh,
all good.
Oh, if I could go back, I would stop myself from signing that contract. That's,
okay.
We did a one-year contract with what we thought we could afford.
Mm-hmm.
It brought in nothing.
Oh, no.
That's why I work every Sunday, and then I'm there most Fridays. I like to ask, like, how'd you hear about us?
Sure.
And more often than not, I'm 95% of the time, I heard from a friend.
Oh,
I heard from a friend.
Word of mouth.
A friend told me.
Okay.
Or we would have someone come in, because it is scary for customers to come in and shop
sure.
a system that they've never seen before.
Right.
I can always tell new customers, they walk in really slow and kind of look around and they veer away from me as quick as they can.
Oh.
Because they want to explore the space on their
sure,
own.
Sure.
And then they'll figure it out and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, it's a swap. Okay. Or they'll have their bag and they're like, I'm here to swap. Is that okay? And I'm like, yes, come in. Give me your
That's
bag.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Sure.
And so I have a lot of customers who come in and bring a friend because
okay.
that feels more safe.
Sure.
So they'll come in, and so it's almost like we're getting a two for, or like, yeah, it's like a two for one because
right.
we're getting now two customers when really
sure.
maybe only one would have come in.
Mm-hmm.
So after that first year, we quit formal marketing through this newspaper and
mm-hmm.
just decided let's just try word of mouth and all social media and see what's going to happen.
Oh, interesting.
And so we advertise. We do paid advertisements through social media. That does work well for us.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a really close eye on trends when it comes to social media.
Mm-hmm.
When we first opened in 2013, the organic reach, meaning, I mean, you know all this, but I'm just going to repeat it.
Sure, sure.
The organic reach, meaning my app, my pictures and my quotes and all that was getting out to all of my followers organically mm-hmm. without them having to like click on my stuff.
Right.
It was at 85%. It's down now to less than 1%. So whatever I put on Facebook, right. Via, you know, my Upshift, there's times I don't even see it and I'm the owner. My name is attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, I just put that ad out there. Or not ad. I just put those pictures out there. Mm-hmm. The clothes, where is it? And I have to dig to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I remember the good old days with Facebook, and I know Facebook Instagram is kind of where it's at for us right now.
Right.
But we still do rely on Facebook because, like I said, our customers are moms. And mm-hmm. they're the ones that are on Facebook showing their kids pictures and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was I saying? So we now we pay for our Facebook ads, which just irritates me. But if that's the way we can play the game and advertise, it's a heck of a lot less expensive than when we did the newspaper. So I just look at it that way.
Sure.
So yeah, we do advertise on social media quite a bit. And mm-hmm. I leave that up to my merchandiser. He does a really good job. He's a lot younger than me. So he knows, he kind of knows the trends.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's how we advertise.
All right. So Instagram, Facebook, you're on. Is there any other social media stuff that you guys do?
We do Twitter, but I'm not I don't get on there. Our stuff is so visual. I want people to see it. So mm-hmm. I don't really have that much to say on Twitter.
Yeah.
But mostly Facebook and, Instagram.
And maybe this is getting too far into the weeds, but this is something that I'm always curious about with a retail store. How often does your store turn over its inventory?
Oh, that's a super good question. I would forget to talk about all of this if you weren't prompting it. Thank you. Right. Sorry, I just took a big...
No, you're good.
We typically, when we first opened,
mm-hmm.
and on a typical day, we get like 3 or 4 customers.
Okay.
But that is 3 or 4 new bags of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So we hang it immediately and it goes out the next day. It's required. I require my merchandisers. I have cameras. I check. And I'm not a micromanager, but that is the one thing that's important.
Okay.
That's going to keep repeat customers coming in over and over if there's new inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So I do guarantee my customers that every single day there's going to be new stuff that the customer can have access to.
Sure.
So back when we first opened, customers would come in like once a month.
Okay.
And they would see a whole new store.
Sure.
Now when I leave on Sunday and I close up and I come in on Friday, mm-hmm. it's probably about 50% a new store. So about every week or two, there's all new inventory.
That's cool.
We do a good job thrifting anything that we don't want to keep.
Mm-hmm. Thrifting, like send it to a thrift store?
Yep. So we thrift it out and send it to a secondhand store. We keep it 100% local
mm-hmm.
because we want to cut down on the carbon footprint. So so we keep it to local secondhand stores. And we also open the door to the homeless population twice a year. So in March and October, we completely take everything off the hangers. Thrift it all, usually 40 to 50 bags.
Wow.
And then we bring in all of our stuff that's in storage because remember our inventory is building the whole time that we mm-hmm. are putting off season away.
Mm-hmm.
So twice a year, March and October, we just open the door. People can come in and just fill a bag.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because that helps us get rid of, get the old inventory mm-hmm. out or the inventory that's perceived as old.
Mm-hmm.
And we hang all new garments from backstock. Sure. Twice a year, the store is completely redone.
Wow.
But
it's gonna be time consuming.
You know what? We have it down to a science where it used to be.
Okay.
We used to start it at 4 when we closed on Sunday and we get out of there at like midnight. Now we just have it down to a science where it's a couple hours, done.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. We know how to hang really fast. I make it fun. I order in pizza and open a box of wine and whatnot.
Right.
But so the inventory, it turns over pretty quick.
All right.
Technically, like I have customers that come in once or twice a week.
Wow.
And people can come in and just like check the space out. They don't have to swap.
Yeah.
We do have people who do that and then put stuff on hold.
Sure.
We're trying to move away from putting stuff on hold because it happens a lot. And then it takes up our backspace and it just sits there.
Yep.
So, So we try to move away from that. But people can come in and explore the space without swapping. Just to come and check it out.
So can you define for me again, like I'm a customer. I've never been to your space.
Mm-hmm.
What, like just tell me the process.
Right. So For me, I clean up my closet and I put it in a bag. It's always just sitting there for when I'm continually.
So just grab a grocery bag or something like that?
Yeah. A lot of people do the blue IKEA bags. Like a lot of women have these blue IKEA bags.
Is that a big bag?
It's huge, yeah.
Okay. Like I got a bookshelf, so let me just put it in a bag.
So, I mean, we do say the bag can be any size, but that's a lot of women do that. Otherwise, you can just do like a reusable tote.
Okay.
Bring it in. I empty it out, or whoever's working empties it out while you're looking through. Like, we don't stand there and judge each piece in front of the person at all. People are a little fearful that we do that, and we absolutely don't.
You're wearing this.
No, no, no. And and we hear that that's why customers like to come to us versus other consignment, because other consignment in the area, they'll turn stuff away right to your face. They're like, oh, these aren't good enough. And they'll come right to me with that box of stuff and said, this all got turned away. And I'm like, this is great stuff.
Sure.
Oh my God, excuse me.
That's okay.
And I'm like, this is great. Why won't they take it? And so we go through it while you're shopping. So you come in with your bag. We're going through it. We process it, meaning we're trying to get it hung for the next day. Mm-hmm. I bring your empty bag out. And then the whole goal is you just refill it. You pay that flat rate at the end.
Yeah.
And we do offer a complimentary wine. Not sure if I mentioned that, but we do offer that.
You did not mention that. So
and, of course, that's for women and men who are over 21.
Sure.
And it's all, like, we don't pour it. We don't have you pay for it. It's just there. It's complimentary. So, so then the women shop. There's two fitting rooms. You don't have to ask to jump in. You just try your stuff on, and you fill your bag. And
so I bring my IKEA bag, grocery bag, or whatever. Yep. It's filled with all the stuff that I don't want in my closet. I bring it to you. You empty that thing out. Mm-hmm. Then I go shopping, essentially, with this empty bag.
You shop it, and you just fill.
And I just fill my bag up.
Yep.
And then what happens?
And then you just pay your flat rate.
So I pay my flat rate.
Yep.
And now I got a bag full of new-to-me clothes.
Yes. And we do take cash or credits. We get asked that a lot. I mean, we prefer cash only, but we have a card trader. So just to cater to the people.
Because the credit card companies take a nut and boo.
Yeah. So, that's basically it. And like I said, when I was writing the business model, I was like, we have to keep this as simple as possible. So, it runs itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, essentially, anyone can go in and figure out how to hang the clothes and do the swap.
Right.
And then it's easy for the customer to understand so that they can come in. And again, it cuts down on what you're spending. It's just a win-win for everyone is basically how we have it set up.
So if someone just brings in a bag of dirty rags or something like that.
We've had it happen. For every 100 customers we have that are amazing.
Sure.
And I would say 99, seriously, and I'm not just saying this, 99.9% of our customers are awesome.
Okay.
You'll get one stinker like that who will come in. Mostly people see the value in it and wouldn't do that. And honestly, more often than not, I have women who come in and who are super proud to show the stuff that they brought in. They're like, this was my favorite sweater when I was in college. Or this was, and they have kind of stories to go along with it. But every once in a while, we'll get a stinker who comes in. And it's just kind of like, well, this is one out of the 100. And
life goes on.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we have had customers who openly have come in and they're like, I come in and just buy stuff and resell it on eBay. And I'm like, why would you tell me that?
That's a little weird.
So a lot of times people don't think I'm the owner either. I think they just think I work there. So they'll tell me stuff. And I'm like, you probably shouldn't tell me that. But no, for the most part. Secret's out. For the most part, we were really lucky to have great customers.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what has been your favorite part about this whole thing?
I am a huge people person. I love interacting with people.
Sure.
Which is why people are like, you don't need to be working here every Sunday. And the answer is no, I do need to. It's part of me getting out of the house and just love being around people. We have super interesting customers come in.
Sure.
I love just hearing their story. How'd you end up here?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, the other people aspect are my employees who I love.
Sure.
And it's fun. Like, it's just really, really fun. Sounds like it. Yeah.
Do you know, from the business plan, I'm just trying to work out numbers in my head, right? You had to know rent is X, utilities, employees, storage, all the other marketing, whatever stuff you have to deal with. You knew that your base number.
Right.
Because it sounds like the flow of stuff that you're selling, that's just coming and going without a real expense to you, which is cool from a business planning point of view. Mm-hmm. But you knew how many transactions have to take place every single day.
Yep.
In order to make this sustainable.
That's how I keep my staff pumped up, because there's days where, like, on Halloween, it snowed and it was cold and it was Halloween.
Yeah, I remember that day.
And it's like, we haven't had anybody walk in. Like, I'm panicking. I'm like, yeah, but yesterday we had X sure. amount, which just, it's going to trickle over
so
today.
So you look at it by the week
so
or the month?
So I
or?
Look at it by the week and the month, and we have a whole spreadsheet that we all fill out. And of course, I analyze the numbers 10 ways till Tuesday to sure. make sure we're on it. And yeah, there's months where it's we're barely squeaking by. And sure. then there's other months where it's like, this is making up for those other months.
Right.
And that's just the reality of owning a business. And I was really nervous about that because I went to school to be a clothing designer. I was not right. in school to crunch numbers.
Sure.
I went back to school to be a teacher. I could maybe teach eighth grade math right now.
Sure.
My husband does have a business degree, and he just set me up with an Excel sheet, showed me everything, and he's like, just keep doing this, this, and this.
Yeah.
I put all your numbers in here. And to explain why I have people helping out with the financial piece, or maybe my merchandise or doing social media,
there's nothing wrong with it.
I know. Well, one book that I read, and I read it right before I opened the business. Can I mention a book?
Sure.
It's called E-Myth. Have you heard of it?
I have, from Michael Gerber.
I ripped up my business plan and rewrote it because of that book.
All about setting up systems.
Setting up systems. Mm-hmm. And so having worked corporate, I was familiar with that, and that mm-hmm. made sense to me. And I was like, yes, I need a marketing department. I need an IT department. I need sure. a financial department. Who are the people? And in this book, he talks about, he's like, you're not going to have people in those places, but right. you need to delegate who's going to do that.
Sure.
And I rewrote the business model based totally on that book, or my business plan based totally on that book.
Sure.
And here it was me, Dustin, and Joe, the three people running it the first right. the first day we opened. And I was like, Dustin, I don't know anything about IT. You're my IT guy.
Right.
I don't know anything about financial. Sure. You're my financial guy. I can market and merchandise
right.
and do human resources all 10 ways till Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. And each sure. person had their role. And I really attribute us running very smoothly, not only because it's a simple business model, right. because I put those systems in place.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I don't even remember what the original question was. I'm sorry.
that's okay.
But anyway, so I had him help me with the financial. And yeah, at the end of the day, at sure. the end of the month, I know what our numbers are. And, okay. and we, that first two, those first 2 years was just no red. That's all that mattered.
Right.
But this much black.
It was yeah.
barely enough to
don't
keep,
figure out your cost or how much you made per hour, right?
Listen, no, and I didn't quit my teaching job. So sure. it was like we and that's the other thing that I've learned too is like I thought of this as a side project at first, and mm-hmm. I need to still continue my career path.
Sure.
And this is gonna be a passion project until it isn't. And mm-hmm. and yeah, like I said, 6 years later we're still here and
right.
and I love it.
So what's set for the future? It sounds like you're growing.
I want to be in a building that is split into two spaces. I want to have kids in maternity because okay. that's the next big thing. Kids don't do any wear and tear on their clothes, so it would be easy to turn over
sure.
in a swap system.
Sure.
And then it would cater to the moms that come and shop with us.
Right.
So one part of the building I imagine being children's and maternity, mm-hmm. and then the other part being women's sizes 0 to 13, and then I want to stay in the space we're in with men's and then expand okay. that to be full all men's because I love our location so much.
Sure.
So that is the goal. Okay. It's really slow going. I've been saying that's been my goal for like 2 years.
What's the limiting factor?
Finding a space. Okay. Finding a building.
Okay.
We had one that was just, I mean, we were just about to lock it down and some stuff fell through, so we're just still,
oh no,
I don't know. We're still working at it.
Does the building you're in have room that you can expand?
We've expanded as far as we can.
Oh, no. Okay.
Unless, I mean, yeah, there's an apartment behind it, but I mean, it's occupied. So.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we've expanded as much as we can. So.
Gotcha. Interesting. So what has been your, let's call it your secret to success so far that you've learned? Maybe didn't know it was your secret at the time, but now you're like, this is it. This is the magic. Is it?
Franzia.
Was it?
Franzia.
Best answer ever.
Keeps me chill.
Sure.
No, a secret to success. I think delegating and depending on other people, it's hard. I think for women, and I think it's hard in the Midwest to reach out and ask for help. For some reason, it's ingrained in women to not, and it's ingrained in people from the Midwest. And
I would say around here, it's not even exclusive to women. Women more so, yeah, maybe.
And
but yeah, based on the students that I've taught or even spoken to,
mm-hmm.
even clients with my business coaching, right? There's a ton of them. Like, there's so much information.
Mm-hmm.
It's never lack of information. It's lack of just asking.
Right. I that's the big one. And it's that's been a really good lesson for me to just ask for help. And what I found out is people want to help.
Yes.
People want to jump in. People are excited. And it's so that's probably been my biggest thing is just depending on other people and, okay. and asking for that help.
Sure.
For sure.
Nice.
I know.
So let's see here. Favorite business book is E-Myth, it sounds like.
Yep.
Is there a second place in there?
I mean, no. Probably no? Just, no, it's E-Myth for sure. I think, too, I was nervous to read it because my brother opened a business a year before I did, and he mm-hmm. called and said, you have to read this book.
Oh.
And I said, Jeff, what if I read it and I realize I shouldn't open a business? So that was, I kept pushing it aside, finally sat down. I devoured it in one day.
Wow.
Literally ripped up my business plan and started sure. over. And so I think I don't ever want to read anything else because I loved it so much and I'm scared of ripping up my business plan.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you're 10 years in now, so yeah. It's all good. And your husband's still cool with?
Loves it. Still cool. Yep.
Rock and roll?
Yep. He's still super supportive. And
nice.
Yeah.
Do you get to go shopping in your own store?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Everything I wear is from there. My staff that works with me, they get to swap as much as they want. They
sure.
can swap and they take me up on it. They know they have to hang their own clothes and bring in good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of perks as far as that.
That's cool.
And one thing I was asked, and I was just asked again this recently, is does it get picked over because of staff? And the answer, well, the answer is no, because we all have different styles and different
sizes.
Only
wear so many clothes.
And,
right?
Yeah. And so no, there's always good stuff to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
That's awesome. This has been really cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can ask you. I just feel like you got a lot going on and you've been extremely successful for all the, like, taking on something new like this is surreal. Yeah. Totally surreal.
Yeah. It's, no, you asked a lot of good questions. It's stuff I would have forgot to answer.
That's awesome. So I guess if someone were to come to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business, regardless of what kind.
Yep.
What is one piece of advice that you would consider giving them?
I actually have a lot of people come and ask this, especially my students.
Sure.
Because they're just little entrepreneurs.
Right.
I always say that they need to read the book.
Okay.
I recommend that book right away. I tell them that it is easy to get an LLC if you just get on. Well,
oh, super easy.
Yeah, it's super easy. Yeah. I was
5 minutes on the interwebs.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I say, go out and get your LLC right away because the name might, like, I have Upshift. Like, mm-hmm. I will always own it whether I own
mm-hmm.
the brick and mortar or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay the $25 a year or whatever it is
right.
to renew it. It's next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I say, go out and get a domain name right away
mm-hmm.
so that you're not scrambling after you name your business.
Right.
Go out and get a domain name. I go through, you know, whatever online mm-hmm. and it's $11 a year or whatever.
Right.
And then, and I say, pick your name wisely because that domain name might not exist. And
right.
And I always tell them, do something like Google as a word that did not exist, but they then, of course, could buy all the domain names.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Upshift. Where did that come from?
Upcycling was a huge word in the industry, in the
okay.
fashion industry in 08, 09 when I wrote the business plan. And of course, upcycling. And that, of course, you're not going to find any domain name
right.
with upcycling because it was such a buzzword. And so mm-hmm. I just chose Upshift. I got on my LLC and was like, okay, that's available. Got
all
on
right.
my domain name. That was available. Yeah, so those are the big key pieces. Though I'm like, just get out, read that book,
yeah.
get your LLC, get your domain name, and then you can do anything from there. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I know
sky's
you need
the limit.
Yeah. So, I know you need, like... financing and stuff.
There's stuff. A couple of I's to dot, T's to cross, no big thing. Well, Lindsay, this has been awesome having you on here.
Awesome. Thank you, James.
You gave us a lot of information. Mm. Congrats on the business. That's super cool.
Awesome. Thanks.
Hopefully you find a bigger space.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Whenever you need to. It all works out.
I see an empty space over here. What's going on over there? Oh, no, it's a studio.
Oh, never
mind. Shoot.
Bam, bam. Just give it time. Give it time. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on the web, please like, share, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kateman, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com. As well as draw-in customers business coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And, of course, the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Lindsay Lino, owner of Upshift Swap Shop in Madison, Wisconsin. Lindsay, remind me again of the address.
836 East Johnson, on the east side of Madison.
Gotcha. And then do you have a website?
Yep. UpshiftSwapShop.com.
UpshiftSwapShop.com. Easy enough.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at SunPrairieMediaCenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at DrawInCustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.